This is the Vinyl Garage.
And a one and a two. There's a place where I can go, and that's where I wanna be. I'm saying goodbye to you good people, for I found a place for me. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Gonna go way out,
way out.
That's where the fun is, way out,
way out.
That's where the sun is, way out.
Welcome to the Vinyl Garage. I'm Dave Nelson, your host, and for the next 60 minutes, we'll explore the lesser-heard side of rock, a world consisting of album cuts and B-sides, along with a healthy dose of vinyl history and commentary, from the blues of the 30s to today's new releases. We have a lot to do, so let's get started. For rock music purists such as myself, originality is foremost. But you also need to be realistic. Few bands can last any number of years without some changes. People come and go, styles change, but they continue to call themselves, well, whatever. But there's one classic rock band that takes the normal band family tree and turns it into a forest, and that would be Yes. They have been actively recording in one variation or another for 45 years. In that time, the band member lineup has changed 18 times. Using only 2 degrees of separation, Yes is related to 484 different bands. So going chronologically from the first LP in 1969 to the latest just last year in 2014, we'll explore the music, the lineup changes, and most importantly, how the changes affected the music of one of rock's most prolific bands. The first Yes lineup, as of 1968, was Chris Squire, John Anderson, Peter Banks, Bill Bruford, and Tony Kaye. All but Kaye came from two obscure British psych bands, Mabel Greer's Toy Shop and The Sin. When The Sin broke up, all found their way to the Toy Shop and gently morphed into Yes. This lineup lasted two LPs, 1969's self-titled and 1970's Time and a Word. One song from each, starting with a way cool cover of a Beatles song, Every Little Thing from 69, and the title cut to the second LP from 1970, Time and a Word.
With her, I'm happy just to know that she loves me.
I know that she loves me now. I know love will never die. Every little thing she does for me, yeah. And you know the thing she does for me. For me, yeah. And you know the thing she does for me. When I'm with her, I'm happy just to know that she loves me. Yes, I know that.
The news and help the world.
1971's The Yes album saw a change. Peter Banks left to form the band Flash, with Tony Kaye as guest, and in his stead was guitarist Steve Howe, who came from the band Tomorrow. The album was a breakthrough for Yes that featured some cuts that would become concert staples for years to come, including I've Seen All Good
Take
People.
A straight and stronger course to the corner of your life. Make the White Queen run so fast, she hasn't got time to make you a wife. It's time with your time and his news. It's captured for the Queen.
With 1971's Fragile album, the band hits its stride. Tony Kaye is out, and his replacement on keyboards is Rick Wakeman. In just four albums, the lineup has changed three times. The album would reach number four in the charts and spawn their most recognizable cut, Roundabout. It's also the first LP that featured cover art by Roger Dean. And speaking of Roger Dean, he also designed cover art for Tony Kaye's new band, Badger.
Oh,
A new year, 1973, brings a new LP, Tales of Topographic Oceans, and, you guessed it, a new band lineup. Bill Bruford leaves to join King Crimson, and the new guy behind the drum kit is ex-Plastic Ono band timekeeper Alan White. The new LP is a double, with one 20-plus minute song per side, so obviously no singles were released. But despite that, it still went top 10 worldwide. 1974's Relayer LP solved the lack of single problem, taking the razor blade to long epic tracks to make them radio-friendly, unfortunately to mixed success. Two singles were released, neither charted, although the album was top five in the US and the UK. The new album featured another great cover by Roger Dean and, wait for it, a new keyboardist. Yes, another lineup change. That's seven LPs with six different band lineups for those of you keeping score. Rick Wakeman leaves to do solo material and soothe his bruised ego. He didn't like the Topographic Ocean LP. And enter ex-refugee, there's an ironic name, Patrick Mraz. He would last only one album, moving on to play on the Moody Blues comeback LP, Octave, in 1978. Here's the single edit of Soon.
To shake for all time, ours the ride.
You're listening to The Vinyl Garage. Welcome back, Rick Wakeman. All is forgiven. 1977's Going for the One LP showcased not only another lineup change, that's eight LPs, seven changes, but the exit of Roger Dean in LP cover art and the entrance of Hypnosis, best known for their Pink Floyd covers, especially The Dark Side of the Moon. Dean's Yes logo was still used, however. The first of two singles, Wondrous Stories, was well received, going top 10 in both the US and the UK. The wheels fell off in 1978. Tormato was a flat, forced affair that nobody was happy with, although it did sell well. The Hypnosis cover for the tentatively named album was even less well received by Wakeman, who threw a tomato at it, solidifying the final album cover design. Not much from this album is worth playing except for one, and that's only because I remembered the live version when I saw them at the Richfield Coliseum in 1978 and really enjoyed it. Circus of Heaven. The song featured a spoken interlude by John Anderson's son, Damien. This LP put the final nail in the coffin. Big changes were coming.
Seven golden chariots into a wonder to behold, the seven lords of the mountains of time. The dead angels where nothing really stood there before, a giant ten rising 1,000 feet high from the floor. Townspeople flocked inside with their eyes all amazed to greet the seventh lord of the seven age. snow. As the circus finally changed its invisible course, a new world to be found.
Big changes I earlier alluded to was the exit of singer John Anderson and keyboardist Rick Wakeman. Without Anderson, it was Yes only because that's what it said on the album cover, which, after 6 years, again was by Roger Dean. Replacing Anderson and Wakeman with ex-Buggles Trevor Horn and Jeff Downs, making Drama the missing link between the classic Yes and the soon-to-be reimagined Yes of 1983. 9 different band lineups from 10 albums. Sadly enough, nothing from Drama is worth including here. Here's where things get really confusing, if it wasn't enough already. From the Drama lineup, guitarist Steve Howe and keyboardist Jeff Downs, along with John Wetton and Carl Palmer, formed the band Asia. The remaining Yes alum, John Anderson, Alan White, Chris Squire, and a returning Tony Kaye, remember him? Soldiered on. But it was the addition of South African singer-guitarist Trevor Rabin that solidified Yes into a hook-laden pop band for the 80s. The next two albums, 1983's 90125 and 1987's Big Generator, that's 10 lineups from 12 LPs for those of you still keeping score, gave us Owner of a Lonely Heart and Rhythm of Love, respectively. The former being Yes's only number one in the U.S.
Thank you.
Trevor Rabin's vision of what Yes is or should be wasn't entirely mirrored by John Anderson, who, after Big Generator, quit to pursue other projects. The project being the Anderson, Bruford, Wakeman, and Howe LP. The reunion album by the original Yes alumni. Signing to Arista, they insisted on 90126 being the catalog number of their new LP. Take that, Trevor. But it's the next official Yes release that takes the lineup circus and raises it a couple of levels. 1991's Union LP featured nearly all current and past members of the band on one LP. The record provided the single Lift Me Up. Although it was more of the Rabin Squire brand of Yes, it still featured Anderson's vocals. The Union tour featured all eight on a slowly turning round stage.
To stay, gotta hate this town, depending on the day. You look me up, you look me down.
Yeah.
After the Union LP, Bruford, Howe, and Wakeman left, making Yes a five-piece band again. 1994's Talk LP was to be the last for Trevor Rabin and Tony Kaye. One single was forthcoming, Walls. It charted top 30. The Keys to the Ascension series of two LPs found Rick Wakeman and Steve Howe back in the fold. The LPs were a mix of live and studio tracks under this new again lineup. 1997's Open Your Eyes album found Wakeman AWOL again. He would never return. And replaced by Billy Sherwood, who himself would only last one more album. On 2001's Magnification LP, they solved the revolving keyboardist problem. They didn't have one, making it the only time the band was a quartet. It was John Anderson's last as a member of Yes. He was replaced by Benoit David, a singer from a Yes tribute band on 2011's Fly From Here. The album also featured the return of Jeff Downes on keyboards. And finally, 2014's Heaven and Earth album, another lead singer, John Davison. He also was from a Yes tribute band, both he and David sounding eerily like John Anderson. Well, there you have it. 25 years, 18 lineup changes, a band never static, always changing, but still the epitome of progressive rock, no matter who was listed on the album cover. Thanks for joining the Vinyl Garage this week. Join us here next week or on Facebook at facebook.com/Vinyl Garage Show. We're going out with a cut from last year's Heaven and Earth album, Step Beyond. So until next week, this is Dave Nelson. Thanks for listening.
Sun will shine, and the winds be